Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so we're down to the final four in baseball. The National League, I guess really, you know, the two teams that are left, you could have probably predicted them. Most people did, as being Atlanta and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Maybe a surprise in the American League that the Houston Astros, who got into the playoffs as an under 500 team without their best pitcher in Justin Verlander, and even losing Gerrit Cole, that got this far under the leadership of Dusty Baker. We get the opinion of our buddy Scott Lauber, who covers the Phillies and loves everything about Major League Baseball from the Inquirer. We haven't spoke to you in a while. Scott, let me just start right off the top by asking you, not whether you were shocked or surprised, but just the way the whole thing went down with Matt Klintak, was it exactly what you expected to happen?
Hey, Ricky. No, it wasn't exactly how I expected. I kind of thought it would be a little bit cleaner than it was. You know, the,
so did
the notion
I.
that
mm-hmm.
you know, the, I guess is the best way to say it. I mean, the idea that he is still in the organization, Matt Klintak is, the idea that they that Andy McPhail is still the team president, that John Middleton did not say definitively that they would hire a new general manager this year. I mean, it's conceivable that they go into 2021 with McPhail as the team president, Ned Rice as the interim GM. And I don't know if I what percentage I'd put on that happening, but, you know, it's certainly one of the possibilities. And I did not see that as a possibility at all. So I think that there's still a lot going on. I wrote today in a story that went up this morning and will be in tomorrow's Inquirer that, you know, I've had some people tell me that they think that Middleton is struggling a little bit with Andy McPhail in terms of what to do there. He wants to retain him in some capacity. You could tell last week when we talked to Middleton how much he values McPhail's experience and opinion. But I also feel like, or I've been told that Middleton sort of feels like maybe they need to move forward with a new team president as well and hire two people, not one, a president and a general manager. So I think that there's still a lot that's unsettled and, time's moving here. We're already into the, LCS round now of the playoffs, and the Phillies have a lot to do this offseason. So you'd like to think that they're going to get their front office situation figured out. And I don't know what the timetable is for that right now.
Does your gut tell you, as mine does, that maybe Andy McPhail, I hate to use, you know, a cliche, but maybe the modern, the way the game is played today and is operated today, that maybe the game has, you know, passed him by a little bit?
I don't know if I'd say that. It's hard to say one way or the other because, you know, I think that McPhail did a lot of I don't know if he delegated to Matt Klintak. He certainly took a hands-off approach to the day-to-day baseball operations and let Matt Klintak sort of operate without as much oversight as I think a lot of people initially thought that there would be. And look, he said it himself a couple of years ago. He said he didn't want to be a micromanager and he wanted to let Klintak grow into that role. And he very much did that. You know, from a day-to-day perspective, I don't know how much Andy McPhail had to say over what was going on. He certainly had a voice over some of the bigger decisions, like Joe Girardi, like Bryce Harper, and things of that nature. But you know, the day-to-day stuff, you know, like trading Nick Pivetta and Connor Siebold to the Red Sox for Brandon Workman and Heath Embry. I don't think Andy MacPhail was that involved in that. I think that was a Matt Klentak operation. And so it's difficult to sit here and say, like, you know, MacPhail still got his fastball or not, because I don't think he was throwing very much at all the last few years.
Okay.
So I don't know. But, you know, it's certainly been a long time since he won those two World Series in Minnesota. And, you know, that was sort of Middleton's defense of MacPhail last week, was you do know that he's won two World Series. And, you know, yeah, he has, and you can't take that away from him, but they were a long time ago.
Exactly. Looking at the National League's Eastern Division right now, okay, who do you think is trending up? Who do you think is trending down? And who do you think is treading water? I'll give you mine, okay? I really do think Atlanta, you know, they're in the NLCS. I think they're still trending up. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the Nationals are trending down, but Miami has taken a quantum leap. I don't think this is just an outlier, what we saw here of the Marlins getting into the playoffs. Those young arms are only going to get better and better, Scott. And with new Mets ownership, I know nothing's in place yet, but, you know, what we're made to believe is that Steve Cohen is going to make a major investment into this team. And that really the Mets have only one way to go but up. And the Phillies, when I look at the Phillies, it's almost as if they're in sort of a divisional purgatory. You don't know whether they're trending up or whether they're trending down. I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with you. So, look, the Braves to me are very much the class of the division. The fact that they've been able to do what they've been able to do in a year in which they lost so much in their starting rotation. You know, Soroka was gone most of the year. Hamels was barely even there. Fulton Evich went down to the minor league, to the alternate site after being ineffective. You look at what they've got in a young pitcher like Ian Anderson, who, by the way, was taken two picks after Mickey Moniak in 2016. So for everyone out there, including John Middleton, who says the 2016 draft, first round of the 2016 draft was a wasteland, you know, Ian Anderson's got his hand raised pretty high right now in Atlanta saying, you know, he's a pretty good pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with the development of Max Fried and their lineup is ridiculous. They are very much the class of the division. The Nationals, I think, you know, look, it all rides on their pitching. It always has. And, you know, last year when they had Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin, you know, healthy and pitching to their capability, look at what happened. They won the World Series. You know, they are a snap of the fingers back, away from being right back to that again next year. If Strasburg comes back healthy from his surgery. But, you know, it also kind of feels a little precarious because we know how pitching can be.
Right.
And, you know, if one or two of those guys, you know, if Scherzer is sort of on the downslope now maybe, or if Strasburg's not healthy, you know, so I think that they're certainly a notch below the Braves. It feels like, I guess you could put them in the treading water category because I think that they need to make some improvements. They obviously missed Anthony Rendon this year in a big way in their lineup. So, you know, I kind of feel like that's a team that could go either way. You know, the Marlins, I'd have to agree with you. I mean, we're going to be talking about, you know, going into next year, was it a 60-game fluke? Are they really this good? But you pointed to the pitching with Alcantara and, of course, Sixto Sanchez and Lopez. You know, there are some good arms there. And, you know, that's a team that's, at the very least, the arrow's pointing upward. And the Mets and Phillies, to me, are kind of, you know,
question mark.
In the middle
right.
In terms of, like, it could go either way. And I think it's a very important offseason for both.
How is baseball, you know, there are certain things, you know, Scott, that we have no idea. We don't know moving forward really how the virus situation is going to affect the 2021 season. We can only speculate, but no one really knows. But from a revenue standpoint and from the ability to teams to make drastic changes to their roster one way or the other this offseason, you know, how tied are GMs and owners, how tight are their hands going to be with the just general uncertainty that we still have in our lives?
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting off season. I would say it's going to be like no other off season, but you know, this whole year is kind of like no other year. So it'll be a continuation of that. Like you said, I mean, nobody knows how filled the ballparks will be next year, whether it will be, you know, 20% capacity, whether it will be larger than that, lower than that, right out of the gate, who knows? It all depends on how this winter goes and how the virus goes and when we get a vaccine and all of those things. So I think teams are going to have to operate a little bit more conservatively than they have in the past. And I really think that if you were in that middle class of free agents, certainly the lower class of free agents, but even the middle class, if you are in that gray area about, you know, tender, non-tender, you know, if you're a guy like, let's say, Vince Velasquez, right? You made $3.5 million this year, or at least that was his salary. That's what he would have made. He's arbitration eligible. He's due for a bump, for a raise. You know, does he, you know, in a normal year, you'd say, yeah, sure, fine. You know, you tender him the contract, you give him the raise, and again, you hope that you tap into that potential that we've talked about now for so many years. But if that salary is going to go to like $5 million and you're the Phillies, do you say, you know what? I mean, that's a little too rich for our blood, given the situation and the loss of revenues this year and things like that. And do players like that get non-tendered who wouldn't ordinarily be non-tendered? I think a lot of them will. So, you know, I think teams are going to have to get a whole lot more creative. This is where, you know, teams like the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, we look at what happened last night, right? Yeah. The guy who hit the home run, Mike Brosseau, yeah. Is an undrafted player.
Yeah, you're right.
And they saw something in him and found something in him and signed him, and he just won them an ALCS. It's probably an extreme example, but, you know, teams are going to have to get creative. They're going to have to find ways to improve their team that don't involve just spending money. I think scouting is going to become more important, and I think that, you know, the teams that can come up with creative solutions – are going to be the ones that that excel in 2021.
Is John Middleton himself really going to have to be the guy that that ultimately makes the move to JT Realmuto, or you know, or just pulls out completely? I'm not sure. My gut feeling is that you know this organization is not gung ho on the pursuit of Realmuto. Where do you think they are as far as JT? And maybe the resources are better spent elsewhere this winter.
I think they really, really like him as a player, and they always have. And I think for all the talk about, well, the 6-0 trade and how he pitched this year does not add any pressure, I think that's just a lot of noise. I think there is a lot of pressure on them to re-sign JT. So I think they want him back, but I think they have their price point, and you know, I wonder how much higher they're going to go than whatever that price point is. You know, I put me in the group of people who think that if not for the virus and if not for the shutdown, they would have worked out something extension wise. I really do. I think that there's a good chance they would have come to some agreement on an extension had the virus not happened.
I think it would have happened before opening day. I agree with you.
It might have. I think that they were a little. I think that they were far apart. They've been far apart the whole time. And you know, I look. Everyone says, "Oh, you got to beat the catcher record, right?" Which is $23 million a year that Joe Mauer made. I think it's way more than that. I don't think they just want to Realmuto's group. I don't think they just want to beat it. I think they want to shatter it.
Okay.
You know, I think they want to get to $25 or $26 million a year, and I think they might want to get to 6 or 7 years. So. The Phillies weren't going to go there, or at least they weren't intending to go there. So
they'd be foolish.
I think there's been a wide gap the whole time.
They'd be foolish to go there, Scott.
Yeah, they probably would. Look at how the Mauer deal worked out, right? You know, that was a guy who was an MVP and a batting champion, and lost a lot of his offensive value when he had to come out from behind the plate. I'm not saying with Realmuto it'll be that drastic, but. You know, you could certainly see it going that way. So I think they really want to re-sign him. I think they're going to face serious competition to re-sign him. You know, I guess if I had to put a thing, I'd say maybe it's 50-50, right?
At best 50-50, especially with new ownership taking over up in Queens. Last question.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. Let me ask you this. I mean, you'd know this. The Yankees, right?
No, nope.
I
nope.
mean, Gary Sanchez didn't play in most of the division series. You know, could they trade Sanchez and go after Real Muto?
No, I think the Yankees, and you saw with Garrett Cole, if they do anything with their catching situation is to take maybe, and I hate to use the term downgrade, but maybe change direction. A guy like Kyle Higashioka, who is great at blocking pitches, calling a game.
Yeah, he sure is.
The pitchers love throwing to this kid. You know, the Yankees have enough offense in their lineup where they can afford to carry a quote-unquote defensive, you know, pitcher-savvy-minded catcher and not have to have a heavy investment behind the plate because they've got so much power and they've got so much offense up and down that lineup. And especially with the revenue situation, nobody knows, you know, how many people are going to be allowed in the ballpark next year.
Right.
If anything, I think they'll take a step. And I hate to, like I said, I don't want to insult Kyle Higashioka, but, you know, if you want to look at it as maybe, you know, taking the foot off the gas and settling for a guy like Higashioka, who Cole loves, and Cole's the man, you know, as far as that pitching staff. He is now, Higgy is Cole's personal catcher. So I think the Yankees would not be a player for Real Muto. I think the Mets would definitely be a player.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting offseason. We will keep in touch with you as it starts to develop. Who do you like in these two series here, quickly?
I like the Rays. Because how do you not? Pitching, they got tons and tons and tons of pitching, and pitching wins. And you got all of the Dodgers. I think it's the Dodgers' year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chalk pick, so it's not the sexiest pick in the world. I just think it's their year. They're the best team. I think it'll be Rays and Dodgers in the World Series.
So it's the Andrew Friedman World Series. Basically.
The Andrew Friedman World Series, right. You're right.
That'll be interesting. Scott, we'll talk along the way, my friend. Stay safe.
Okay, you too.
All right. Everybody, read that piece tomorrow in the Inquirer. That's our buddy Scott Lauber.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.